Good morning, Open Arm Christian Church. How we doing this morning? Yeah, a lot of stuff going on, huh? I guess I said last Sunday, if you got trials, troubles in your life, you are a card-carrying member of the human race. Here we are. Yeah, here we are. Just a lot of things going on with the church right now. The church is trying to do things for the Lord. When you're doing that, I think things come against you. It's just another season of our life that we deal with, and a lot of sick people. I'm praying for each and every one of you. I may not be able to get a hold of each and every one of you, but I've tried to talk to people and see how everybody's doing, and knowing that God still loves you, no matter what you're going through. Her song this morning says, "The same Jesus is going to come back again," and there's every bit of truth to that. Our Lord and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, He's coming again. No matter what kind of a mess our world looks like, no matter how things are messed up, there are no answers to our questions. There are no answers to our problems. It's not our government. It's not any of that stuff. Answers to our problems, answers to our questions, are in one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We need to have His presence here this morning, and we need to let each and every one of you know that His presence is with you. His power, He is mighty. Our Lord and Savior is mighty. Father, we humbly come before Your throne this morning. We have to realize that You are God. We can say that. Make it sound good. Father, when the rubber hits the road, when we're in the middle of a trial, we can come to realize that You are God. No matter what's going on in this world, no matter what's going on in our life, You are in control. We just thank You for that, Father. We praise You that You have a plan for our lives. You have a plan for this church. You have a plan for each and every individual here. Father, You have a light that they need to lead into the community. They have a light, Father, that You have given them to shine from the hilltop. Father, that people can see that we love You. And You are our God. And no matter what comes against us, no matter what the future holds, we are relying on You. Because You are our Lord and our Savior and our God. You are mighty to save. You are in our midst. Oh, Father, be with each and every one this morning, Father, just to put Your hand, a touch of protection, a touch of healing, Father. We can begin to feel better. Our hearts and our minds and our souls and our bodies will just be rising up and praising You, Father. Don't know where we're going this morning, Father, we're going to go there. We're going to let You lead. We just praise You and thank You. Father, in Your precious and Your holy and wonderful name we pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one we love, we pray. Amen. Cool. I usually ask if you have a good week. Been an interesting week, huh? Guess we still don't know who the president is. If you were putting all your eggs in that basket to save, to help, I guess that ain't gonna work. we try to figure things out. You know, I'll be the first one to tell you, we don't have all the answers. We just do not have all the answers. No matter what we got going on, no matter how smart we think we are, we figure out pretty quick we're not too smart, are we? Yeah. I want to look at a couple things this morning. I think today's sermon title is, God Says, I Got You. I got you. I got you. Don't worry. I got you. The Bible tells us to fear not. That's easier said than done, isn't it? Yeah, it is. Easier said than done. 2 Timothy 3, there, 16-17 says, every scripture is God-breathed. That means all the words in this book, God had a personal interest, a personal picture in what this Bible says, personally. Nothing is in here that He did not want put in here. And the Amplified says, given by His inspiration and profitable for instruction, for reproof, and conviction of sin, for correction of error and discipline and obedience, and for training in righteousness which in holy living, in conformity to God's will, in thought, purpose, and action. Verse 17. So that the man of God, or woman of God, child, the child of God, may be complete and proficient, well-fitted and thoroughly equipped for every good work. God has a good work for you, doesn't he? He does. Even when you think, I am pretty minuscule, I don't really amount to much, don't matter, you know what I'm saying? God has a job for you. He has a job that only you, his precious child, could do. And last week when a priest had told you, you know, there in Isaiah says, God has imprinted, he has tattooed a picture of you on your hand. I was thinking about that this week even more. You ever cut your hand, have a little cut, a little sore, something, you know, like even a paper cut. I mean, just as simple as that. Get a cut on your hand, you know, it gets a little sore. Every time you touch that thing, you know, it lets you know that it's there, right? I almost think that's the way God, when he said he had tattooed a picture of you on his hands, I almost think that's what he's trying to say. He tattooed your picture so that no matter what he does, he's thinking of you. Isn't that cool? That's so cool. He's thinking of you, huh? Matthew 28, well, the Great Commission, right? Verse 18, it says, Jesus approached and breaking the silence, said to them, to his disciples, all. You say some? Limited amount? Possibly, maybe? My God-breathed scripture says, all authority, power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Almighty God, God himself, said, guys, all power is given to me. All. So when the world looks like it's falling totally apart, when your world looks like it's falling totally apart, Jesus said, all power, all authority, all rule given to me. And then you have people say, well, if God's God, why did he let that happen? Why did he let this happen? What's this going on? I don't know, guys. I remember little saying from Little House on the Prairie. Remember that? I think Charles Ingalls, was asked, he said, why did God let this happen? Why? He said, if I knew the answer to that, then I'd be God. And I think that's where we have to come sometimes. We don't know the answer. We just don't know. I don't have the answer for tomorrow. I'll tell you what. That impressed on me. I think people have questions. I think people have Bible questions. I'm no scholar. I'm just a simple fellow. I really am. And I've told you that before, and it's the truth. I don't think of myself as anything other than just a guy that the Lord, for some reason, chose to use. He chose to give me a love for studying the Scripture. He chose to give me a real appetite to look into His Word. Find out more about him. And every time I look at the word, it boggles me. Sometimes I have to quit reading, studying, looking. I just have to quit and sit back and close my eyes and think, oh, Lord, this is heavy. This is some big stuff. My little brain can't grasp, get a hold of it. But I know because his Holy Spirit is living in me, just like he's living in you. The Holy Spirit will use that word. He will use his God-breathed scripture and apply it to my life, my heart and my mind. When someone asks me a question, I'll have an answer. I don't always have an answer. I'll admit it. I don't know. If you have a question about the Bible, ask me. If I don't know, we'll find out an answer together. And some questions, just there isn't an answer to. And I'll just throw that out there to you because people have been wrestling with some of these questions for thousands of years and they still ain't got a good grasp on it. So don't feel bad if you don't get it. Don't feel bad. All power, all authority, all rule is given to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's go to John chapter 10. Oh, there's just all kinds of scriptures we can look at. And I've been looking a lot of them. These were impressed upon me, and I want to read these to you. John 10. Oh gosh, we might as well start in verse 22. This is Jesus is here. He's in Jerusalem. Verse 22 says, After this, the Feast of Dedication, it's the reconsecration of the temple, that's the Feast of Dedication, was taking place at Jerusalem. It's winter. Okay, so we know it's winter time. It's in Jerusalem. And Jesus was walking in Solomon's porch in the temple area. He's just out walking around. He's out for a nice stroll. You ever go for a nice walk? I mean, this kind of weather, man, this beautiful, warm weather, you just go for a walk. I mean, it's like, this is awesome, huh? Just go for a walk. He's out for a walk. Verse 24, so the Jews surrounded him. So here he comes. These people are going to, almost like going to attack him, right? The Jews surround him and begin asking him, how long are you going to keep us in doubt? How long are you going to keep us in suspense? If you are really a Christ, the Messiah, tell us so plainly and openly. Just tell us. Just flat tell us. Verse 25, Jesus says, I have told you. I have told you, yet you don't believe me. You do not trust me. You don't rely on me. The very works that I do by the power of my Father and in my Father's name bear witness concerning me. He's saying, hey, these are my credentials. This is the evidence of the support of God in me. You see all the works I'm doing? See the things I'm doing? Wow. Verse 26. But you don't believe me. You don't trust in me. You don't rely on me. Because you don't belong to me. You're not of my fold. You're not of my sheep. You don't know my voice because you're not my sheep. We've talked about that before. You know, the shepherd had his sheep and they knew his voice. It's interesting, even today, that the shepherds, they can actually go take their herds, and they can intermingle those herds, go out and graze together, 3-4 shepherds, whatever. And when they get time to leave, they start talking and walking, and all his sheep will come out of all that mess and follow him because they know his voice. These Pharisees, these Sadducees, these Jews, they don't know his voice because they don't believe him. They don't adhere to him. They don't trust in him. Verse 27, the sheep that are mine hear. Listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Do you ever hear have a voice inside that you could say it's your conscience? And sometimes it is. I believe that our conscience is, God put your conscience there for a reason, right? Something, this doesn't feel quite right, and maybe a situation, and you think, I don't know if I like that. I think the Holy Spirit's using that too, saying, dude, you need to get out of here. Get away from this situation. This is not good. It's conscience, but I think that's Holy Spirit. It says, they know my voice. Verse 28, I give them eternal life, and they shall never lose it. They shall never lose it. Lord Jesus Christ said, you know, if you believe in me, you hear my voice, you're going to never lose your life. We're all going to die. We know that. One way or the other, none of us are getting out of this world alive, right? Unless the rapture occurs, and that same Jesus who's coming back again, okay, we can talk about that, that same Jesus who left Matthew 28 when they watched him going up in the clouds, in Acts, they watched him going up in the clouds, says the angel said, "This, why are you standing looking up there? The same Jesus, he's going to come again." Woo! So unless the Lord Jesus Christ returns, we're going to die. That can be very sobering, can it? Especially when COVID-19 is right in your face. Huh? Makes you wonder. Paul says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Can you imagine all your troubles and trials being done? Wow. Jesus says, you know, those who believe in me, those who heed my voice, they'll never lose, they have eternal life. To all eternity. And the last part of that verse is, and no one, nothing, not a zipperoni, nothing is able to snatch them out of my hand. And I like that analogy because we talked about God has tattooed a picture of you on his hand, and nothing can take you from his hand. You're in God's hand. He's got a hold of you. He's something. He's a rock. He's our hope. He's the one we can hold on to. Yes, he is. Verse 29 says, my Father, who has given them to me, is greater and mightier than all else. And he says it again, and no one is able to snatched them out of my father's hand. He says, you know what? The ones that God has given me, my father has given me in my hand. And they're in the father's hand because the father and I are one. And there is no one, there is nothing, there is not anything that could snatch them from my hand. Wow. Isn't that hopeful? Doesn't that make you feel like, wow, no matter what's going on, no matter what our world looks like, verse 30 says, I and the Father are one. Jesus, Son of God, God the Father, are one. There's no distinction between the two. Jesus said, if you want to see the Father, you've seen the Father because you've seen me. I'm God. I'm God. And no one can snatch you from His hand. Isn't that something? Nobody. Cool. So, not feeling all warm and fuzzy yet? Yeah. I know. Because our problems keep creeping back in on our mind, don't they? Let's go to Isaiah chapter 42. I've been studying. This is not the sermon I was going to preach. It's just one that I think came about because the Lord really intended it to. And He usually gets His thing done, you know what I'm saying? Isaiah chapter 42. We're looking at the first part of it, but we're not going to look at that just yet. I want to start from verse 5. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 5 says, thus says God the Lord. Now, does your Bible have a little mark behind God the Lord? And then it goes into a conversation. He who created the heavens and the earth. Interestingly enough, I always wonder what that mark was. There's different places in the Bible that mark. But it's almost like scholars believe there's part of this that was not, there's terminology here after this statement that is not in any way, shape, or form able to be written down. There's no word for it. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, it's like praying in a language, you know what I'm saying? I think we've all experienced that maybe some to a point. We're praying in a language when we're praying to God. There's no words. There's no words for it. It's a language that is not of this earth. Isn't that cool? So it says, thus says God the Lord, and there's something else, we don't know. It says, He who created the heavens and stretched them forth. Okay, this is God. You know what? He says it real simple here. I just created the heavens and stretched them out. Basically saying, you know, in Genesis, he just spoke them into existence. You know what I mean? I've told you about it. I mean, He spoke it. He spoke the worlds. Wow. Like, He's a pretty powerful dude, right? I'm thinking He is. He who spread abroad the earth and that which comes out of it. He made the earth. He made everything that comes out of it. The trees, the fruit, the grass, the weeds. I mean, he made all the stuff. He who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. God gives you every breath you have. Wow. You're only one heartbeat. You're only one breath away from being eternity. Whether you're 5 years old or 100, we don't know what that time is. God does, we don't. God says, you know what? I created the universe. I created the earth, everything on it. I give the people that's on it the breath. I give them the breath. And I give them the spirit. He gives you your spirit inside of you. He gives you your breath and your spirit. That's something. It is in word verse. I mean, it's like, wow, that's pretty impressive. Verse 6. I, the Lord, have called you for a righteous purpose. I've called you in righteousness for a righteous purpose. I will take you by the hand. I will keep you. I will give you for a covenant to the people of Israel for a light to all the nations. Now, I was talking about the Messiah here to a point, but I think you can look at this. God is going to take you by the hand, and He's going to lead you. You are going to be a light. Not me. Give me me. But you, people in the church, you're going to be a light to those around you. Isn't that cool? Verse 7, to open the eyes of the blind. They're not, can be physically blind, but they're not physically blind. They're just not seeing. Look around the world today. Watch the news. There's people that are seeing. They got eyes, but they're not seeing. They're not comprehending. They're not looking. To bring out prisoners from the dungeon and those who sit in darkness from prison. You know, those who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, they're in darkness. You know that? I heard this analogy and it kind of hit me. You know, we walk around on our jobs and we don't say one word about our faith. We don't say one word about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We don't say one word to people we pass. If you were drove up and there was a house and these people were going right to the house they're going to go in the house, they're going to get burnt, the house is on fire, they're going to go into this house, they're going to die, would you just let them? Would you stand by and do absolutely nothing? If there was a house was on fire and you seen these people just walking right up to it and they're going to open the door and walk in, they're going to die, would you just stand there and do nothing? I would pray that most of us would say, dude, I mean, we would do something. Tackle them, trip them, yeah, I mean, whatever, we're going to try to keep them going. And I think it's the same with our faith. You know, when you're unsaved, when you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, you're going to certain death. You're going to a place that has total separation from God. Wow. Getting heavy again, isn't it? Trying to impress it on you. Verse 8 says, I am the Lord, and that's my name. He says, I'm the Lord. That's my name. You know, nobody hardly knows my name. You know, I don't know about you guys. Maybe you guys are a big deal where you come from. I'm nothing. But God can say, I'm the Lord. That's my name. There's nobody else got it but me. I'm the Lord. That's my name. And my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to graven image. God says, you know what? I am God. I am the Lord. I am Jehovah God. I am Elohim. I'm the Creator, relation-keeping God. That's my name. Woo! Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. You get a little excited? Verse 10. Let's listen. Sing the Lord a new song. And it's praise from the end of the earth. You just praising the Lord in all this mess? Wow. You go down, you who go down to the sea and all is in it, islands, the coastal regions, inhabitants of them, sing a song such as never been heard in the heathen world. Woo! Sing you a song that has never been heard before in the heathen world. Wow. Wow, isn't that something? Let the wilderness, verse 11, let the wilderness and the cities lift up their voices. The villages that eat our inhabitants, let the inhabitants of the rock sing. Let them shout from the tops of the mountains. Let them give glory to the Lord and declare His praise in the islands, in the coasts, and in all the world. Woo! You know, I'm really looking forward to coming back to church with everybody. Really looking forward to praise and worshiping as a congregation, praising and worshiping the Lord our God. And we're going to sing to Him a song. We're going to sing like a heathen have never heard before. And we're just going to sing! Huh? And praise our God. And no matter what the situation we're in is, we're going to praise Him. Because He's got you in His hand. He's got a picture of you. Tattooed on the palm of His hand. And He loves you with a never-ending, never-dying, always-pursuing love. We don't know the meaning of that because we can love stuff. You ever have a food that you really love and now you can't eat it? Because you're older maybe and you don't agree with you. I'm just saying. You got something? You could say, hey, I love you, I love you. Falls by the wayside. God says, I am the Lord, and that's my name. And I have tattooed a picture of you on the palm of my hand. And my love will never leave you. It will never forsake you. It will never let you down. No matter if you go to be a martyr and die for my name's sake. We haven't seen that here in the United States much, but I don't know. No matter if you become a martyr, you die, you do not you do not reject my name, you will not denounce knowing me, and they kill you. They cut off your head. They shoot you and they kill you. My love will never leave you. My love will never forsake you. And to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. That's some exciting stuff, guys. You know, I got lots more verses of scripture, but I'm gonna quit there. I'm gonna quit there. I think we need to understand, no matter what our situation is, our God is still in control. You know what? I can rely on Him. He's proven Himself faithful to me in so many ways and times that I can't even remember all of them. But I know He's been faithful. And He will continue to be faithful. And He loves me. He loves you. He loves you with a never ending, never stopping, always pursuing love. Let's go, Lord, in prayer, God. Father, we're humbled by Your presence this morning, Father. We really don't know what's coming, Father. It's good that we don't. Father, we know that we can trust and rely on You. You are God. We praise You for that, Father. I just ask a special blessing and healing and peace and joy on the congregation this morning, Father, on the church. Father, we can know, no matter what our situation, that You are God and You love us. And it will still in our hearts and permeate our minds. And we will know that You are God. We will know that we are loved by that God. We praise You, Father. We thank You. There's just no words to just thank You for how awesome You are to us, Father. I just ask a special blessing upon each and every one here, Father. Those who are listening, Father, that they could just praise and magnify You. Sing that song that no heathen in this world has ever heard before. Praising and magnifying You, Father. Father, we thank You and praise You. In Your precious name we pray. Amen. Guys, have a good week. The Lord bless you. May His shine upon you. May you know you are loved by God. Have a good week, guys. Love you.